'Twas the month before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not dog, cat, or mouse. Or maybe there was, I sure couldn't tell. My ears are so old that my hearing's gone to hell. So up to Essentia in my Prius I flew to the audiology office up on floor 2. A hearing test taken and a graph in bright red soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. Well, if $6,200 in cash could be paid, I can solve all my woes with a new hearing aid. My life will be better, the audiologist said, with bionic assistance stuck into my head. Well, into my ears, where the problem began. By spring, again kinglets could be heard in the land. Her eyes, how they twinkled, her dimples, how merry. She made the bad news sound cheerful, not scary. And I heard her exclaim ere I drove out of sight, "Happy hearing to all, and to all a good night." Or did I hear that? You just never can tell what a person can hear when her ears go to hell. So I'll scrape up the money. I hope I succeed, because hearing those birdies is something I need. From the moment I started birding, I've loved learning how to recognize birds by their voices, and I was lucky enough to have especially acute hearing in the high frequencies. I had no trouble picking up Leconte sparrows even at a distance when birders I was with couldn't hear them at all, or golden-crowned kinglets singing, or other high-pitched bird songs. In 2012, for the first time ever, I watched a golden-crowned kinglet in full song, beak open, breast heaving, but I never heard a note. I was suddenly struggling to hear golden-winged and blackburnian warblers, and had also been noticing that some songs well within my hearing range are sounding different. Losing the high frequencies means I'm missing out on some of the harmonics of those songs, changing the overall tonal quality. This fall, I used a cedar waxwing recording in a For the Birds program I was producing. That's a song I was still picking up on in the field and thought was still within my hearing range, but when I played the recording, even at top volume, I could not hear a whole section. That's when I knew I'd waited too long already. I made an appointment with an audiologist. Although the very thought of needing hearing aids is sobering, I'm in excellent company. My birding hero of the universe, Chandler Robbins, told me that he got hearing aids long, long ago. His younger brother, the late Sam Robbins, was Wisconsin's foremost birder with legendary ears. As Sam reached his 50s or 60s, he was starting to lose some of his high frequencies, but refused to think about hearing aids until he and Chandler were birding in Wisconsin one spring morning. Standing in one spot, Chandler could pick out 4 winter wrens singing simultaneously, while Sam couldn't hear any at all. That's when he got his own hearing aids. I use a winter wren song as my phone's ringtone, so if I lost that one, I'd be in trouble in more ways than simply losing a splendid and favorite bird song. I'm lucky that my excellent hearing lasted as long as it has, and even now my 63-year-old ears still pick up on some sounds that others miss, probably because I've been so focused for so long on noticing bird songs. But my ears do need help now, at least if I'm going to keep on mixing my own radio programs and leading field trips and recording and listening to birds on my own. Unfortunately, the kind of hearing aids that can help pick up the sounds I need to hear are extremely expensive. A pair will cost $6,200. So I'll have to squirrel away all my earnings for a while to cover the hearing aids, which I'll get in early April, so my test period extends through warbler migration. I'll commit when I know I can hear those warblers again. It's a heck of a lot of money, but it'll be worth it for me to hold on a little longer to the bird songs that have so enriched my life. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.